All right. Well, so we let me give you a recap really quick. Last time I spoke was 2 months ago, and we were going through Mark. And what happened was Jesus came into the world. You know, he got baptized John the Baptist. And then what happened is when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And that Holy Spirit is what gives us our service to, gives us our power for service to walk with God and to do anything, to help your kids, to teach, to just live life. Let's just say that, to live life. That's what it enables us to do. So he gets enabled by the Holy Spirit. Then he goes into the wilderness and he's tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. And, you know, Satan comes to him and he's starting his public ministry. So Satan comes to him and tries taking him out right out of the gates. Jesus has a spiritual high. He gets baptized. And then who's there to meet him? Satan. How many times does that happen in our lives? All the time. After tonight, when a bunch of people get saved and things happen, I'm going to go home and something crappy is going to happen. And Satan's going to come in and try and mess things up. You know, that's just the story of Satan. He's a little cheap shot. So basically, Jesus has a mountaintop experience, goes to the wilderness before he starts his public ministry. Satan meets him and he says, hey, if you're God, then jump from this hill. And the word of God says the angels will protect you. And he says, you know, you should not test the Lord your God, you know, and only serve him. And then Jesus is fasting for 40 days. And he goes, make this rock in a loaf of bread. And in the Bible, dude, I love this scene. In that scene, he goes, make this rock in a loaf of bread and throws it to Jesus. And Jesus catches it. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it just says what Satan said. But they threw in the movie, they throw the rock to Jesus, and Jesus is all haggard looking. He hasn't eaten in 40 days, and the rock just turns into bread, and Jesus is just like, you know, and he's like, do not test the Lord, or whatever he said. But it's crazy how, like, that's how Satan does, what Satan does to us. He throws these temptations that we're just like, almost like you can't resist, you know? So he tempts, Satan tempts Jesus, and he denies him, and Satan flees. Just like when we put God first and we say, in the name of Jesus, get away, Satan, and you stay with God and you serve God and you don't fall into the traps of Satan, he leaps, he flees. What does it say? Resist the devil and he will flee. I think that's in James. So then he now goes to the Sea of Galilee and he's walking around and he's going around to pick up his motley crew of disciples, or they're called the apostles. And, you know, when you read about these guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. Plain, cool, normal dudes. They were like fishermen. One guy was a wealthy guy, you know. It says that he left his father's boat. They were wealthy. And the other guy, Peter, he was just a fisherman, you know, just a, you know, blue-collar guy. So Jesus didn't go to the seminaries to go find people to teach them to turn the world upside down. He didn't go to the colleges. He went and got normal, average dudes. I love that about Jesus. Now, later on, Paul comes into the picture. He's a gnarly, like, seminary, like, gnarly guy. You know, Jesus could use everyone, but just out of the gates, Jesus just got just like normal people. And I love that because that encourages me, because I'm just a normal person. I can't read, you know. I'm going to read tonight, though, in the name of Jesus. I'm not educated, but, you know, I've been around the block, though. Like, by God's grace, God's given me, you know, the gift of speaking and the gift of loving on people and bringing people in unity. And that's what I've done, even when I wasn't a Christian, though. Yeah. But what's crazy is God gifted me with those gifts from a young age. And I've always had a big posse of friends because we were all skaters. We grew up, you know, and we had like the SA, or I had Mexicans, I had blacks, whites, Asians, whatever. And then at our school, we had the SA corner, you know, the cholos. Then we had the jocks. Then we had like 20 black people and like the whole crew. But our crew, we were all different, like every nationality. So we go roll up with the essays and kick it. Then we, you know, hang out with the black dudes and, you know, climb with those guys and then the jocks sometimes and whatever, you know. But we were always cool with everyone. And God always used me to do that. And through that, me working with computer design, hooked up with different people. Then I got into the music industry and started an underground record label at that time. And then from there, I started doing events, video premieres and concerts and stuff. And that all escalated to me falling into Circa Footwear, which became the team manager. And just all that connections and what God's, that love. I guess I just always love people, you know? And it's cool because Jesus says, what's the main commandments? He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I didn't love God, but I always loved people. And that's how God used me. And then I gave my life to the Lord after a lot of drugs and alcohol and whatever, and gave my life to the Lord, and God took me out of everything, and I was just alone with him for a year, started studying through Chuck Smith, and God cleaned me up, and then now God used me to birth the Whosoever movement. About, I birthed Exit Concerts, which is the big festival that you saw earlier, about 5 years ago, and then I birthed the Whosoever movement. Sonny and I founded that about 2 years ago, or three and a half years ago now, wow. And it's been crazy when you submit to God and you let God take control of your life, because you think that when you follow God, that your life's going to, you know, be boring, lame, and you're going to be a boring Christian. You know, I hate boring Christians. You know, I don't hate, you know, it's, I don't hate, but boring Christians, it's like, get up and do something with Jesus, man. You follow Jesus and he'll use you. The problem is people don't want to surrender to God. They're like, I want to just hold on to my secret sins and I want to do this stuff and I'm going to just do my thing because I'll have more fun. But when you give it to God, look at this dude. He was suicidal, gave his life to Jesus. Now he's going on a Warped Tour. Look at me. I thought I was in the world. I was touring on the Chronic Tour album. I was with Exhibit Dre at Super Bowl. I was the only white guy at Exhibit's birthday party. At the table, popping Cristal. I was like, pew, pew. I'm the only white guy. What the? I have Mexican in me too, but you know. You know, I'm the only whatever. You know, I wasn't brown, that brown. But I was touring, man. I was going on tour with Limp Bizkit and the Deftones and just wiling out, Playboy Mansion parties. Dude, everything, just consuming everything. And life sucked. I'm so happy I got everything. I'm like, oh, this is miserable, man. Miserable. And that's the way this, you know, Jimmy was. Same thing. Let it go tonight and give Jesus a chance and watch what he does. I dare you. I dare you. Now, that's the intro. So here we go. Mark. So Jesus got the disciples, and now we're picking up where he left off, and this is going to be Mark 1. But I want to intro Satan really quick. I got to intro him a little bit on the first night I shared my testimony, but it's important that we know who we're battling against. Peter says, be alert. Now I forgot it. Stay alert. Beware for the Satan roams around the world like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. He's called the dragon, the serpent of old, the liar, you know, the deceiver. He has all these different names. He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. So this is what the Bible has to say about who Satan is. So you can be very clear who he is and what his background is and why he has such control of this world. Okay. Ezekiel 28:13, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created. Lucifer was one of the most beautiful archangels. He was created to be a musician, and scholars believe to be the musician, the choir director of heaven, okay? When you read this, it says he was built in gold. All those rubies and diamonds and all those rocks all around him. He had pipes built into him. That's the mid-range. His mouth, that's the vocals. The tremble, if you Google it, it's a drum that has a skin on one side. That's the bass drum, and it has cymbals surrounding it. That's the highs, the mids, the lows, the vocals. He was a built-in music machine. At the top of heaven, on the Mount of Congregation, where God the Father's, God is a spirit. So he's next to God. He's at the highest place of heaven. He's at the top of the mount. God's spirit is, you can imagine how bright and what that looks like. You know what I mean? When the verse says, may your face shine upon us, imagine what God's glory is like. Now, Satan is up there next to him, leading the worship in heaven. God's glory shining upon him. He has all those rubies and diamonds and everything, all that gold. Satan must have just been beautiful, just a radiation of God's glory come off him. Imagine that. Insane when you think about it. Now, I'm building Satan up so you understand what his whole problem was going on. The one thing I want to cover is Satan's purposes. He was created, God created him to be a music machine, a music choir director. He was a musician, and God created him for that. And the thing with us is you'll never, and he ended up using that thing for evil, his gift, just like we do. Like I use my gifts for evil, to promote drugs and alcohol and having sex with chicks. That's what I promoted. And the same thing with all kinds of different bands. God created you guys with your gifts, and now you can either use them for God's glory or you could use them for evil, like Satan ended up using. So moving on, it says in Isaiah 14:12, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You were cut down to the ground. You were weak in the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation and on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." That's God saying you will be brought down. So basically what's going on here is he sucked up all the glory when that mad worship session was going down in heaven. Everyone's worshiping him. He sees God's glory. It goes straight to his head. Straight to his head. And what does he do? "I'm dope and I'm going to take God out," right? He gets thrown down. Like it says, like lightning to the ground. And he took one third of the angels. He got kicked out of heaven because of his pride. And he wanted to be like the Most High God. And it's just sad because God created this guy in perfection, it says in another verse. And with all wisdom, it says. This guy, Satan, Lucifer was gnarly, just amazing. One of the most beautiful angelic beings in heaven. And he got kicked out of heaven and he took one third of the demons down from him. And now you got to understand there's ranks in demons. Just like there's ranks in angels. You know, for instance, there's the archangels. There's Gabriel, which the scholars believe that's God's archangel. They believe Michael is Jesus's archangel. Because when you read about Gabriel, when he showed up to Mary and he said, "Hey, you're going to have a son." He's like, "My name's Gabriel and I came from God." And then he shows up to Joseph. "My name's Gabriel. I came from God." And then later on, it talks about Michael and Jesus. So they believe that Lucifer was the archangel and the guardian angel to the Holy Spirit. We don't know that till we get to heaven, because I'm pretty sure we'll find that out and we're going to see who replaced Satan. It's probably going to be 10 times gnarlier than Lucifer. It better be, because there'll be a lot of us up there wanting to worship hard. So I'm sure they're going to hook it up. God's got that covered. Now, there's Satan. There's different ranks in demons. And I know that because of there's more powerful demons than other ones. And I know that because one of my friends is not only biblically, because of it talks about there's some demons that are chained up in the abyss in Jude, because they came out of their realm. They didn't stay in their realm because there's different dimensions. There's a spiritual dimension and then there's the physical. They didn't stay in their realm, and they were actually having sex with people back in around Noah's days, and they were having actually Nephilims, which are half demon and half man. And because they stayed out of came out of their realm, God took them and took him and put him into the abyss, which they're going to be held into the day of judgment. In Revelations 20, it talks about it, that there'll be, or not Revelations 20, but on the in the last days, they'll be let out of the abyss to torture man for a certain amount of time. And they said that they have like long hair, face of lions, hair of woman, like a woman, wings of eagles, tails of scorpions, and bodies like, like lions or something. But they're going to go around and they're going to torment people in the last days. They're that evil. So there's different kinds of demons and different ranking demons. And my friend, she was actually a Satanist. She was a Satanist for 7 years. She was into the occult. She was born on Halloween and she was a virgin. And when she got into the occult, she was going through all the different rankings. And the way you would get more powerful, become more powerful if you're a Satanist, is that what they would do is they get the pentagrams, they do the seances and stuff, and they have the candles, and the demons exercise up through the pentagrams. And then the demons, you call demons into you. And the more demons you have in you, the more power you have to the Satanists. So basically, long story short, she was a virgin, and she was being prepared to be the bride of Satan. And she was going to actually go on Halloween. She was going to go there. They were going to have a ritual. She was going to get raped by the coven. And then they would have Satan. They were going to show up. They were going to do a seance. Then the coven would actually get a knife and unvirginize her, a blade and unvirginize her. Then the coven would rape her. And then Satan would show up and he would actually have sex with her. And that was going to be her initiation to be the bride of Satan. Well, thank you, Jesus Christ, that he showed up the night before in a dream and showed up to her, and she ended up giving her life to Jesus, and that never happened, and she got saved. Woo! This is a very heavy night. We're going to hit very gnarly things tonight. It's going to all end about Jesus, but I'm going to explain to you what is what we battle against and how serious this is, because these are the last days and Satan ain't playing games. He knows what's up. So here's that verse I was going to read to you about those demons. In Jude 1:6, it says, "And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within their limits or of authority God has given them, but they were placed where they belong. God has kept them securely chained in prison for the darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment." Now, how do you let demonic activity come into your life, okay? How does this happen? Now, being demon-possessed and being in the cult, that's some, you're pretty far out there. You know, you could come back. That's easy to come back, but it takes a while sometimes for that to happen, or it could happen instantly, and I'll tell you some stories. But a way, there's a verse, I can't quote it right now, but it says, don't let Satan get a foothold in your life through anger. Anger is a way. You know when you get rage and you just get pissed and you just want to kill people? And you see red? I mean, you're just angry, you know? Like, that's a way. There's a verse that says Satan could come in your life. I'm not saying you're going to be possessed. I want to be very clear. I don't believe in, like, there's a lot of people that are like, he has the spirit of sleepiness. He has the spirit of gluttony. He has the spirit of, what's some other wacky ones? Huh? Jealousy. Of jealousy. He has the spirit of gas. No. The thing is, you guys, listen, that's your flesh, okay? All those things, that's your flesh, okay? I don't believe people could be demon-possessed that easy and all that kind of stuff. Not everyone has a demon, okay? That was a weird doctrine that went around in the 80s or 70s and it's come back around again, and then it'll go out again and it'll come back and whatever. Just read the Word of God. If it doesn't say that in the Bible, don't believe it. You know, we believe in what we do know, what we don't know. We don't like to add to the Word or take away. It's just, if it's in the Bible, you're safe there. You know, if not, you end up in some weird spiritual hiatus and all your friends are like, dude, that guy's a weirdo. What's up with that guy? And then you're not even representing Jesus. You're scaring people away. So please stop doing that in the name of Jesus. All right. Anger, unforgiveness, rebellion, pride, tarot cards, Ouija boards, psychics, porn, using illegal drugs and legal. Just because they're legal doesn't mean they're good for you. You know, if you get prescribed them from the doctor, use them for that certain time. But obviously, we know people that use Oxycontin and morphine and all these legal drugs, and they're getting high as a kite, and they're having crazy things happen to them. Drug paraphernalia in your house, that's another major thing. So if you have any of that stuff, you want to get that stuff out of your life. I was in my room after, you know, the night before I took a bunch of cocaine and Xanax and I took like 15 hits of ecstasy and cocaine and stuff, went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, went to work. And when I went to bed that next night, I seen this black shadow of this creature jumping around my room. I felt pulled down into my bed and it was demonic. It just choked me out and then came back 3 times that night and it disappeared. And my other friend that took all the drugs, which is now a pastor, he had the same similar experience in his room that same night. That's one thing is you open yourself through doorways. Like, you know, the band, The Doors, you know, those are doors you open yourself through porn and through drugs and hate and bitterness and all these different things. You open yourself to Satan to come in and make his home and start working. And it'll start slow, but he'll start working and things will start progressing in your life the way sin is. You know, it's like leprosy. It starts on your fingers. Next thing you know, it starts taking over your whole body. And then you can't feel nothing and you're dying. And then you end up dying from the sin. You know, that's the way sin works. Feist, Ronnie Feist from the militia, the guys that work with us, he became a Christian and he used to travel the world and he's collect these voodoo masks all around the world. And after he became a Christian, things were moving around in his house. He could hear scratching on the walls. Things were being flipped over. And he was like, dude, what's going on? So he invited Griselda, that ex-Satanist, over to the house. She came over and she's like, what is all this stuff? She's like, you need to get rid of all this stuff. This stuff is like connected to voodoo and stuff. And somehow we look at things and we're like, oh, that's a cool mask. Yeah, but where did that come from? That's the number one thing. So see, he went through, cleaned everything out. They anointed oil on all the walls. They prayed. Boom. That was the last time Satan, you know, worked in his house scratching and doing whatever they do. They destroyed the mask. They burnt them. It was a done deal. There was another girl in Miami that was involved with Satanism. She obviously Satanism will bring Satan into your life. There was a kid in Seattle that I met with, and he was convulsing and shaking and stuff. And his whole deal is he didn't use drugs or anything, but he got in. Satan started coming into his life, showing up in his room, choking him out, walking around with demons and stuff through pornography, porn. After he went home, I prayed for him and anointed oil on him. He got rid of all his porn. He's been fine. But pornography, so you Christians, according to statistics, 68% of Christian men consume pornography. So according to you 68% of men that are here, and women aren't far behind, you're opening yourself to demonic activity in your life, in your heart. You're putting that in your heart and your mind. And I'm not here to diss you guys. I dealt with porn dude, my whole life. And I watched porn for the first 6 months of my walk with Christ. But when I came to that verse that Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to turn from your selfish ways, pick up your cross and follow me. I stopped that day. It's been 5 years since, and I ain't ever turning back. And it's hard. It's not easy. I'm single. I'm not sexually active. I would like to have sex. Let's just say that. But just being real, I'm 37. You know, but but that's the reality. And I say that because girls are the same. You know, people say, oh, it's us guys, we have it the hardest. No, I date a lot of girls that were freaks. Okay, girls have it the same. It's the same thing. Okay, moving on. I'm not trying to get sidetracked, but God could break the chains. You remember, we could be a new creation in Christ, and whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. If you want to walk with God and you want the power in your life, surrender. Put your white flags up to him and follow him, and he will take it away. And then you don't have to be in bondage. You're going to come here, you're going to be psyched on not what I said, but what God said tonight. You're going to be amped that Jesus talked to you. Then you're going to walk out, and you're going to go home. You're going to take your shower, and then all of a sudden, when you're all alone, you're going to be like, porn. Huh? Right? Even if you aren't watching porn, like I'm not watching porn, that still happens to me. Tonight, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be like, porn. No. I follow you, Jesus, and that's it. And it's going to hurt my flesh because I would like to do it, but then if I did it, you know, right after, I'm going to be like, oh, gosh, what did I do? It feels so dirty. That's how it is when we sin, though. Whatever sin it is, I don't care what it is. I'm just talking about porn because everyone knows about that, you know, the majority of us. You know, statistics are crazy. Like, I don't have them. I'll bring them another night, but everyone has seen porn unless you're, I don't know. But, yeah, one way or another. There was another girl that I, up in San Francisco, she was being thrown, I prayed with her, she was being thrown back and forth on her bed, getting scratches on her back, never did drugs or anything, but she was having demonic stuff come into her house. I don't know what was happening with her, but we anointed her with oil, we prayed for her, and the mom met me back a month later and said it went away. So I told them to clean out their house, whatever that was, they did that, and that's how that works. Okay, so now, starting Mark. Here we go. Mark 1:21. So now Jesus called his disciples and he took them out straight into it. Now, Mark 21, Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. It was going so good. All right, here we go. I'm going to start over. Okay. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Now, back then, the religious teachers, they would always quote other scribes and stuff, and they would say, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that. There was no authority. So when Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, he's like, boom, this is how it's going down, my friends. For instance, Matthew 5:27, he says, this is what Jesus said. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in her heart. Boom, there's authority there. Because he's saying, because he's the final word. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Moving on. Verse 23. Suddenly a man in the synagogue was possessed by the evil spirit, beginning to shout. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God. In the King James Version, it says that the demon says, let us alone. Or in our language, leave us alone. Just leave us alone. What are you doing? You know, and why are they tripping on this? Because they know that their time's coming. They know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. In Genesis 1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that was it, right? Jesus was in the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. He was there in the beginning with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. It says it. So when these demons were created, guess who was there looking at them? They were angels at the time. It was Jesus. So what do they say? They say, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. And four times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is called the Son of God. And two times is by demons. You know, and other people in the Bible were like, who is this guy? And all the religious people were like, this guy's not the Son of God. And the demons are like, you're the Son of God. Stay away. Even they knew. You know what I mean? And it also goes to say, the demons know that he's the Son of God and they tremble. They tremble when they hear Jesus or see Jesus. So I went on without using my notes. Son of God, they knew because moving on, verse 25. I covered everything. Jesus cut him short. Be quiet. Come out of the man, he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into convulsion, amazed, gripped the crowd, and he began to discuss. The crowd began to discuss, what happened? What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even the evil spirits obey his orders. The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the region of Galilee. Now, let me expand really quick on a couple stories here. Because people are like, the Bible's not relevant. This doesn't happen anymore. This stuff's old news. It's an old book. It's been around forever. Ain't happening. Now, I'm going to bring it to reality, right? If there's more than one person, then it's a truthful testimony, right? Okay. Well, there's a posse of people at each event. Okay. Number one, there's a Bible study that's held over here in Orange. It's a Monday night. It's called Daughters of the King. If you girls want to check it out, you should check it out. It's on Monday night, every night at 7 o'clock. Danielle leads it. And they were doing this event, and this girl's in there. And all of a sudden, she's like kind of laughing. Her eyes are kind of rolling back in her head. And they're like, okay, this girl's not acting right. We know her. What's going on? They walk up, and they go, hey, let me pray for you. And she's like, no. And she starts screaming. So she starts screaming in a gnarly voice. So I'm going to make the story short. Long story short, Daniel's in like kickboxing stuff. So she's like, poof, takes her down. They pin her. They start praying for her. And it's the demon, basically. And they're like, in the name of Jesus, come on. The demon's like, no, you can't have her. She's mine. And then the girl comes back. And she's like, help me, help me. And then it goes back to the demon. You can't have her. You know, yelling back and forth. And it's like seven girls. They're praying for her. They're laying their hands on her. It took like 3 hours. Finally, the girl's like, throws up. And the demon comes out. And then the girl's like crying. She's like laying on the ground. She's like, why are you guys on me? What the heck's going on? And all the girls are all crying. Oh, you had a demon in you. You had a demon in you. And they're like, she's like, what? So they anoint her with oil. They pray with her. She gets delivered. And they go downstairs. And as they're walking out, this is in her salon, okay? She's walking out. She sees the owner of the salon downstairs. It's a 3-story salon. The owner of the salon and the girl that works there. And they walk down. And all of a sudden, the guy's like looking at her. And they're like, hey, how you doing? And she just like walks out of the salon. And 30 minutes later, the owner calls her and goes, were you casting a demon out of that girl in upstairs? He's not a Christian. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. And she's like, what am I going to do, lie? Yeah, we were casting a demon out of that girl. We got a demon in her. And he's like, your God is, he's like, I was downstairs. He's like, I heard the whole thing. I was down there for like an hour listening to everything. And something told me not to go up there. And he said, because what happened tonight, he's like, your God's real. He's like, you can do whatever you want in my salon. Boom. Then, another story. We've come across like 6 or 7 demons in the movement, but I'm going to just tell you a couple stories. Then I go to a rehab up in LA, and I roll in. They invite me. We start praying. We're doing our thing. I start teaching, and this girl's like, has her sweater. She's like coughing. She's like coughing the whole time. So I'm like, she's sick, whatever. And this is not a Christian rehab. This is mainstream. So it ends, and I talked about those demons that came to my room, you know, when I wasn't saved, and her friends come up to me and they're like, hey, she has one of those devils in her. And she's like, I do. And I'm like, oh, great. Everyone has a demon these days, right? So I'm like, okay, well, you know, we'll pray for you. And I'm with Ben, you know, the Aussie, and my other friend Tim. And I'm like, all right, you guys, there's like, you know, full rehab. And I'm like, if you guys aren't Christians, you know, Jesus Christ living in your heart, if she has a demon, it's going to come out and it's going to go in one of you guys. So you guys need to leave if you aren't a Christian. And you know, those that rehab has those double, you know, those doors, like the cowboy movies or the diners. Dude, I looked, it was all doo, 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 doo. The doors are like doo doom. People took off, they booked. There was like four of us. And I looked back at everyone else. I'm like, okay, guys, we're gonna anoint her with oil. So I go, sit down in the chair, we're gonna pray for you, and we're gonna anoint oil. She had oil too, so I got the oil. And the Gutierrez brother, he's a worship leader. Have you guys heard of him? He was there randomly. He was there, and he's like, I'm going to tell you a story about the Legion. And that's what God was telling me to tell the story about. So I could see how the Spirit works together. You know what I mean? So he starts reading the story of the Legion, and we're going to just pray for you, you know? And I get the oil, and I put the oil on her. And right when I put the oil on, she's like, ah! And I was like, ah! Dude, I was scared. My heart was beating so fast. I was like, and I looked back at everyone, and all my friends were sitting on the chair, and they were like, and I was like, it's going down. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, okay. And I was just like, right, whatever. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, come out. You know, I'm like, that's what the Bible says, right? In the name of Jesus, come out. And the demon's like, no. And it's screaming at the top of its lungs. And I'm like, And here in the Bible, it says that the demon screeched. And that's what it starts doing. No. And it starts getting up. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, stop. And it's like, and I'm all, sit down in the name of Jesus. And it sits down. And it's all, rah, rah, and it starts talking in like Latin or some crazy language. It's like, rah, 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 talking all crazy. And I'm all, in the name of Jesus, be quiet. And it's all, rah, 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 rah. Dude, it was crazy. No, I'm serious. This is crazy. And all of a sudden, and I'm like trying to cast it out. I'm like, And she's like, coughing and stuff. And I'm like, everyone keep praying. Finally, I stopped. And we've been there like an hour or something. And I'm like, what is going on with this thing, you know? So I just get down on my face before God. And I just start praying, dude. I start worshiping. I'm like, God, I'm like, you're holy. You tell me what's going on. Why is this demon coming out? Show me. And also, God says, unforgiveness. And I'm like, all right. So I get up. And I'm like, I'm like, Melissa. And I could see, like, as we're talking, you could see the demon coming across her face and then her coming back and forth. Not actually a demon face, but you could see it, like, crossing back and forth, like Lord of the Rings, you know, Smeagol, you know, he goes back and forth. I know it's a weird example, but it's true. It's like split personality, and you could see it, like, the demon coming out talking, and then it'll go back in, and then she would come out. Help me, you know. It's like the craziest, weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, bring Michelle back. So Michelle comes back. I'm like, do you have unforgiveness? She says, yes. I said, you need to repent of all your unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. And she's like, Jesus. And it's like, God. It's like fighting back and forth. And finally, she's like, please forgive me. Forgive for my unforgiveness. And next thing you know, it starts coughing. The demon comes out. She gets delivered. It was crazy. But what does that verse say? Whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. I don't have no power to cast out demons. I'm not a demon caster outer guy. I actually don't like going to those things, but Jesus keeps putting me in those situations. So, but the thing is it's about God getting the glory, and that's it. It's all about Jesus Christ, you guys. It's it. And I wanna let you know, I've been around other people that we prayed for and the demon hasn't come out. And there's footholds that Satan has in our lives. We're dealing with a guy from Orange County right now that had a demon in it, has a demon in him. And we can't get it out. We prayed fast, it's been hard. And the reason why demons won't leave until you let it go. If you're like, of course, if you have a demon and you're like, I want to be set free. No, duh. And then you go back to partying. But the problem is until you're like at the end of your ropes and you're like, I want to follow Jesus. I want you, Jesus, and I don't care about anything. Because what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? Repenting, when you repent, it means a change of heart and mind. You go the other direction. You don't go, oh, free me from these demons so I can go out and sleep with some girls and get high and drunk. That, it doesn't work that way. So I believe that, you know, people have, you know, these guys that have these demons in them, they aren't repented. When you truly repent, it says the Bible, they got to go. Light and darkness can't coexist. If this room was dark and you turn the light on, boom, it's on. That's the way it is when Jesus Christ comes into you. The light goes on, the darkness leaves. And that's the thing. And it's sad when people don't want to give up, you know, give up these footholds that the Bible talks about. Moving on, verse 27. Amazement gripped the audience and they began to discuss what happened here. Just like the people in the rehab and the salon. They were like, dude, what just happened here? Jesus just showed up and just handled business. But are they serving God? No. because they like living their way. Now, if I was a Christian and I seen this happen, I'd be like, okay, the God exists. I got to figure out what's going on here. Like, how do I learn about him? Bible, church, what do I got to do? Like, this is real. You know, like, if this is real, if Satan's real and God just took, got rid of him as a person, that means God exists, Satan exists. That means there's heaven and hell. That means there's life after death, right? People don't think that, though. They're just like, I want to go out and live for today. And then you're not even promised tomorrow. That's the thing. That's what's scary. So, moving on. Verse 29, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, those are the sons of thunder. Those guys are always trying to smoke people. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon's and Andrew's mom's house. I didn't even read that right. I'm dyslexic too, by the way. I seriously am. I put a period in front of a one when I was making notes today. That's backwards, right? Yeah. Okay, starting over. After Jesus, I'm a hot mess, you guys. I don't know. Jesus uses it for whatever reason, but it is what it is. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. This is the only place in the Bible that shows that the disciples were married, because this is his mother-in-law. Verse 30, now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went up to her bedside, took her by the hand. He helped her sit up. The fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick, demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with many various diseases and cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Jesus didn't let the demons speak because he didn't want people to know he's the Son of God yet. His time was not yet. But he went there, and Jesus' fame was growing. So people were like, dude, Jesus is handling business over here. Are you sick? You need to get healed? You got a demon in you? Let's go see Jesus. So Jesus is up all night handling this, just hooking up people. You know, just a touch from Jesus heals, what's his name, Peter's mom too. He went into the house. She knew she could heal him. He could heal her, and he just touches her. And you know, and some of you guys here tonight, you know that you might just need a touch from Jesus, you know, and wherever you're at, you might need him just to touch your life. How much time do I have here, by the way? It's 8:29. All right, I'm gonna finish. All right, I'm gonna finish the chapter then. That's my study. It's done, but I'm gonna finish the chapter then. Let me go. Mark 1. This always happens, man. Dang it. It's all good. I'm prepared. All right. So, let's see. But Jesus, where was I? Okay, he healed the mom, cast out demons. Okay, verse 34. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Now, Jesus just had a huge day. This guy was casting out demons, healing people. I mean, things were going nuts in his life. And this is a good example for us, what we need to do when we want to walk with God. And as we're being used, we got to take that time to pray. You know, and it's hard, you know, we get so caught up, you know, and we do those little prayers, like as we're getting out of the shower, getting ready, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Help me do whatever I'm going to do today. Leading God to be blah, 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 whatever it is. You know those prayers? Amen, let's go. You know? But there's a difference between those prayers, which I do sometimes, you know, and then those prayers where in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is like, kneel down before the Father. And he's like, God, I want to serve you. I want to go to the cross. I'm going to do your will, not my will be done. And that needs to be our prayer every day, you guys. You know, we are going to the cross. We're following Jesus. The cross is pain. We're denying ourselves. We're following Jesus. We need to get on our knees and pray. And I have a place at my house, you know, in my loft. I got my worship music set up. I got, you know, I love worship. And I, you know, when I get down in my worship session, in my prayer session, loudspeakers, subwoofer, you know, on my knees, my hands, you know, up my knees, my hands in the air, back and forth, standing up, worshiping, singing. My neighbors must think I'm crazy. I don't even care, but it's all good. But I'm alone in that place, and I'm just giving God my heart. Like, God, I don't got it figured out. I don't have no game plan for next year. You know, I just want to be in your will, you know, like whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to Africa, I'll go to Africa. If you want me here in the United States, I'm here. But just search my heart, you know, and I tell them about my insecurities, you know. I tell them, I say, you know, help me to study. You know, help me not to say dumb things about you. You know, help me not to lust over women. You know, help me with those things. You know, help me not to cuss. You know, help me not, you know, I don't cuss anymore unless I'm about to get crash. And then I always say the SH word because it's embedded in my mind. And I was like, God, if I die saying SH when I crash, every time I'm like, ugh! You know, and I'm like, help me with these things. You know, I ain't gonna go to hell for that. You know, he grace and mercy. He's like, he's a dumb human. Come on, Jesus, come on. I got you. ADD guy, ADD. No, but I just pour out my heart to him and I'm like, God, like, I want to be like you. I want to be like Christ and help me to be like that. Control my life, take control, just do what you want in my life. Just lead me and guide me. And that's it. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing here. He's praying to God and he's like, God the Father, just take control of my life. Dang, I lost my place now. I know where I'm at, but I don't know where I'm at. Does that make sense? Jesus went to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everybody's looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must be going to other towns as well. I will preach to them too. That's why I came. So he traveled through the region of Galilee, preaching in all the synagogues and casting out demons. Now notice about Jesus, he knew why he came. He came for one reason. He came to go around and spread the gospel and heal people and do different things. He didn't get caught up in one area. And he's in tune to God's plan for his life. And that's the way we got to be with our lives. Like I was teaching over at Diamond Bar, you know, and I'm like, you know, people were telling me, man, you need to just keep teaching. My dad, you know, he's like, dude, start teaching on Sunday nights and do this and that. And but I'm like, that sounds good and all. And that could be kind of cool. You know, I could get on the radio and it could be more people or this and that. But I don't care about that. I want what God wants. And God was calling me to Orange County. So I came to Orange County and here I am. And that's the thing is like, and we're doing a Hollywood night. God called me to do a night in Hollywood. So now I'm doing Diamond Bar, I'm doing Hollywood, and I'm doing Orange County. And God has called us to do the large festival here. God's calling us to get a warehouse here so we can do our events there. I got to be in God's will because I'm in tune with him, so he's sending me here. You know, that's why God called me to do, and we all have a purpose and a plan that God has for you guys, and by reading and praying and being in tune with God, he will lead you. It's not going to be boring, believe me. I'm going like, God, chill out, dude. I can't be everywhere, man. Seriously. It's hard, you know? But, you know, his grace is sufficient, right? Yeah. It's his grace. He does it. He hooks it all up. He always shows up. Then, moving on. Here we go. Travel through. Okay, here we go. Shoot. Should I go? Okay, I'm going to go through this. Why not? All right. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging him to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He said, God, that sounded really bad reading. Let me try that again. A man with leprosy came and kneeled down before him in front of Jesus, begging him to heal him. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Number one, what's going on? A man with leprosy. In the Bible, it's like spiritually, it's like sin. It's like sin in your life. Like I was explaining, that sin in our life, you know, you get it, you start smoking weed or anger, you start stealing. It's that little bit of sin that turns into more sin. Then the next time you go to steal, it's going to be easier. And then you become a criminal, smoking weed. First time, the first puff, no big deal. Drink a beer. Next you knew you're doing coke. Sin progresses. Porn, you're watching soft porn. Like I remember when I was young, I'd be watching Skin and Max, you know, like fifth grade, fourth grade, you know. And that's not like too heavy of stuff, but I remember I'd watch it and I was like, whoa. And then next you know, I was watching like gnarly XXX porn. And then the next thing you know, it progresses more and more. And that's the way leprosy is, that's the way leprosy is in your life. It starts on your fingers, your toes, your nose, and it starts growing. And the thing with leprosy is that leopards don't die from leprosy back in the Bible. The majority of them died from rats biting in their nose when they're sleeping because leprosy kills the feeling in your body. And the way sin is, it kills that feeling. And next thing you know, you end up dying from your drug addiction or you die, you know, from drinking or just whatever sin leads you to your death. And that's the way leprosy works. You know, people would get bit by a rat. It would poison their blood, and then that would kill them. In the same way, that's the way leprosy works with us. So that's a little breakdown on leprosy. So that's the first breakdown. Second is he knelt before Jesus, and he is desperate. Have you ever seen a leper? If you Google it. Their noses are jacked, their noses can fall off. They have bloody arms and all these different things. Their body's basically falling apart. And he's desperate. Back then when you had leprosy, if you'd see people coming, they would have to yell, unclean, unclean, coming. They would have to yell it I don't know how many feet away, but away so people could walk away from them. He rolled up straight to Jesus and kneeled before him. And he was like, if you are willing, save me. He's desperate. He's in sin, badly in sin, the way you are, that you could be tonight. He comes to Jesus desperate, kneels before him on his knees and goes, Jesus, if you are willing, heal me. Then going on, it says, Jesus reached out. Oh, and he's activating his faith at this point. He knows Jesus could heal him. He's heard stories about Jesus healing people, just like you guys have heard tonight. He kneels down and he activates his faith. And he says, Jesus, heal me if you're willing. Okay. And then what does Jesus say? And this is the way Jesus always is. He's moved with compassion. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him away with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along an offering required in the law of Moses for those who had been healed of leprosy. This one will be a public testimony that you are cleansed. And what, this is the trip, dude. Leprosy is incurable, even to this day. They can't cure it. But God, the Father, and Jesus, in the Leviticus law, way back in the Old Testament, put a provision for leprosy. If someone was healed with leprosy, that you could go and give an offering saying that you're cleansed with the turtle dove. Now, if leprosy is uncurable to today, God put that way back in the Old Testament for this moment. Crazy. Jesus did that for this leper, which is so gnarly when you think about it. Dude, he thought about this guy, you know? And he put that in here and that came up. And I was just so amazed by what happened with that. And that's the way Jesus is tonight, you guys. God loves you, and he has a plan for you. And I'm going to have dead bones come out right now, and I'm going to wrap it up here because I want to go into a worship session, and this is the time when I want you to just examine yourselves, your lives, and what's going on in your life. Is that leprosy starting to come in, that sin? Or do you want to get rid of it, or do you want to let it take complete control? Do you want to die from that? You know God is real. You know Satan is real by the stories I have told you. There's no doubt. You've heard Jimmy's story. You know my story. And there's a ton of you guys that have been affected by Jesus and your life has been transformed. Being a Christian and walking with God is not boring. Being in tune with the God of the universe, when the God of the universe speaks to you through his word or through people or does miracles in front of you, that's the kind of life I want to be living. It's amazing then walking around aimlessly going, what am I going to do with my life? You know, what happens when I die? You know, it's just being lost. There's no happiness in what this world has to offer. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus has come to give everlasting life. Everlasting life is when you believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about God. Jesus said this about God. He said, God doesn't want anything. The only thing that God wants from you is to believe in his son. He doesn't want anything from you. Just believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And when you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, that he would die on the cross for the sins of the world and he was raised from the dead after the third day. And now he's in heaven pleading with the Father for our sins. As we mess up, he's just like, God, I died for the sins. Those are my boys. They're good. They're good. They repented. They're good. That's what Jesus does. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father talking to God, interceding for us. As we pray, as our prayers are incense going to heaven, Jesus is just interceding. And he has a plan for you guys tonight. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. I just want you as these, where's the band? Band, please. We're gonna go into a worship session. And we're gonna do 4 or 5 songs. But I want you to analyze your life. Take inventory on your life. And if you're a Christian and you want to have that new walk with God, tonight's the night that you need to just give it all up. if you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian and you want to find God, you just got to give it all up, surrender, give your life to God, and just start reading the Bible. It's very simple. Just read the Bible. Get plugged into a good church. I got friends of churches up in Westminster, Huntington, here. There's plenty of churches that we can plug you into and people that will love you. And they'll walk with you as you fall on your face. You get up. What does a baby do when he falls on his face? The baby gets up. Remember, the baby gets up and keeps walking. That's where we are as Christians. We make mistakes, we fall, but we get up. And what are we not better than a baby? What are we gonna do? Mess up, fall on our face, and then not get up? That's what Satan wants us to do, is to stay down. Even babies get up.